You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Podcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 165.
Three, sir.
163. It's a little bit too long there.
I know. It's like, took me a second.
I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Roke Schindler.
All right. We've got a spoiler for you. We've got some results from a local tournament, and I ate too much pie.
I should have gotten that much sooner, too, because we just played Monty Python Flux last night.
Nice. How was that?
It was fun, drawing through, five cards instead of three. Anytime you see a three on there, Mac's wife vetoed the silly accent card after about two rounds. So Mac played a card that reset the rules, and then so I promptly dropped the "I just want to sing" card, and so we moved on to a different kind of annoyance. It was entertaining.
A different kind of annoyance is exactly how I would put it. A while back, all the Flux sets started incorporating this kind of hanger-on card that you can't win if you have this out. Does this have that as well?
Yes, those are called Creepers.
Okay.
And it's actually kind of cool. I did not like it at first because it was like another... I always get frustrated when really nice, fun, simple games start overcomplicating themselves.
Huh.
And I kind of saw that as something to that effect. While you have a creeper in play, if you draw one, you have to play it on yourself and draw another card to replace it. And then while you have it in play, you cannot win unless the goal specifically says otherwise. But in this case, Monty Python, Flux, it was kind of funny. So you had like the Killer Bunny or the Legendary Black Beast of and there were cards that actually benefited you if you had certain creepers out.
Okay.
And some of the goals were like the Catapult Bunny and the Killer Bunny. So if you had the Keeper and the Creeper out, then you win.
Nice. Breeding like rabbits or something.
Yes, exactly. It's like Bunnies of Power, I think. I don't remember. But yeah, it was highly entertaining. It was good. Good edition of Flux. And perfect for the end of a long, filled weekend of eating. It was about the level of brain power that I was willing to commit to a game at that point.
Yeah. Well, we played, and pull back the curtain a little bit. We started recording a show last week, and the blue screen of death ate it, so we're going to try to remember what we talked about. But we used most of our brain power the previous weekend playing 2E, right?
Yes, 2E.
Now I'm looking back at the notes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we had seven people show up, which is kind of awesome, kind of not awesome, but
right.
I decided to sit out because I had other things to do, so I was gonna let the six of you all go on and play the four rounds. Unfortunately, as it happens every once in a while, fourth round pairings didn't work, so Charlie dropped out, and I jumped in, and so we made the fourth round possible. So it was kind of nice. I got to play a deck that I don't have to ever play again. it was good showing. And you know what? That's right. TK showed up.
Yes, TK showed up. Missed home for the holidays, as it were. And it was fun. It was in an entertaining way. In that, I think about half of us had the same reaction walking in, and either, like, I walked straight back out, and I think Charlie was like, oh man, I don't want to play you, I just built this deck, and I guess, hadn't he already divulged?
Apparently they were chatting about it on the sessions, in the chat room earlier, without Charlie knowing that TK was actually going to show up at the tournament.
But no, it was fun to have him back, and kind of had like our old group all playing, because
yeah.
It was funny, our newer player was not there and one of our older players returned, so it was kind of like flashback weekend,
just like old times. And yes. Just like old times, TK around the table, right?
Yep, undefeated. I will proudly state that I held him to a timed win.
Well, you hold most of your opponents to a timed something, right?
No, oh, hey, man. TK, yeah, I'm like, if I get past the 30-minute mark, I count it as a moral victory. you know, his decks, you know, are so fast. But he was playing not a weenie deck this time, and I was playing kind of a slow you down a little bit deck, even more so than usual. Usually my deck is kind of slow to get going, and so it takes me a while to run up and catch up to you. But in this case, it was very much more a interactive slowing you down to help speed me up deck.
You played him in the last round. I'm looking at the results, and actually he got a modified win against TV, a full win against Charlie, and a modified win against Johnny, and a modified win against you. He must have been playing a slow deck, because TK doesn't get modified wins very often.
For him, it was. It was a lot of four-cost Romulans, or high-cost Romulans, P-Tall, and, you know, Chavnernak to go peeking, and the two unstop, unkill pair, Karina and Ruan. Right, the ones that they cost four, and they, you know, if you have more cards, they can unstop or unkill somebody by pitching an event. So,
wow,
and he was running the Birds of Prey, so that he had lots of range.
His deck is unchanged for the last 9 months.
Wow. Well, I think
one thing about TK, he's always very good about posting his decks. So,
yeah.
I'm looking at the TK Romulan 1.0, and it says constructed. February 18th, March 31st, and November 17th. First place.
Wow.
So, hey, good deck.
Yeah, and I think, you know, because he was his employment situation where he was working remotely from Florida for like 8 months or something, he packed, I think he just built the deck and took that, and that was it. I don't know how much in the way of cards he was able to or willing to take with him, so... that could be it.
And you were playing Romulan too. What were you running?
I did. You know, I was super excited to sit down against a Romulan player because I was like, I am going to drop Jordy and Talara on his ass, and he's not going to have a ship, and I'm going to kill. And it's been so long since I've played Assassins that I totally forgot that apparently we're not at the same place anymore, even if we're at the same place.
Well, it is in the same region.
So, yeah, but you have to have a ship.
Yeah.
And I still have to get on the ship and fly over there and get off the ship. Like, I have to fly to the other side of the planet or something. So, my big surprise... Once again, this is sort of the theme of the day. My big surprise was not a surprise. Because I tried to do something and telegraphed it and it didn't work. Or I telegraphed a piece of it before the rest of it was ready to go and... it was still entertaining, though. I was playing... I started off trying to play an assassin deck. And, you know, the assassins are pretty spread out now. But I really wanted to use that new virtual card. Both the Jordy assassin, Romulan Jordy, and I think her name is Vakis.
Yeah.
So... You can, when you play an assassin, you can pitch a card and play them directly to any headquarters or any planet. Hey, look, I'm an assassin, and I'm going to kill you. But I also, you know, as always, I was like, well, I need something to complement this so I can solve missions. And rather than just filling the deck out and to solve missions, I hit upon the rest of the Jordy storyline with the brainwashing and the condition captive and that new Sela, relatively new. I think she came out in Tacking. And she downloads all the capture stuff.
Ah, yes.
I was like, oh, that would be so cool. And, you know, I could get that and it'd be like they're capturing Jordy and killing you. And I've got that dilemma is really good that, you know, you can put it in your core and then when I capture somebody, I get to capture somebody else. It's also from that episode.
Ah, yeah.
And so then I was like on the episode kick theme. So I put in the mission, abduction plot, and, you know, condition captive and brainwashing and PNP so I could get some points. And it was actually pretty cool. I think I would like to, as is often the case, I would like to take both of those themes and make an entire deck around one and the other and play them separately.
Yes, I know what you mean.
But the brainwashing was really cool. I had a couple of guys that let me look at your hand. There's that one past guy, sub-commander or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tall Klingon Mare, except not Klingon.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when I play somebody, I get to look at your hand for interrupts, but I'm really looking to make sure you have a person in your hand so that when I play brainwashing, I'm not losing 5 points for nothing. And I get to, oh, look, I'll take this person that I want you to not have or that I want to steal, which made for an interesting variety on the day, either using Ferengi or stealing Ferengi from Thomas and giving Dr. Erdor all of Sayla's stats, or having my three Ferengi be acquisitions people be cunning and strength buffed because of your his commodities.
Oh, yes. Thomas was trying a Ferengi commodity deck, right?
Yeah. And that was just an unfortunate matchup because of the... I got my assassins out pretty early, leadership and honor killers. And he didn't have a lot of targets for those, but it also meant that he didn't have a lot of that.
Sure.
And so when I was playing Dilemmas, I was like, all right, hey, I know you don't have this.
Were you able to... So, backing up, I really wanted... I had that deck halfway put together, the Assassin's deck, with just a couple of headquarters, just playing as many as I can. But I stumbled because I didn't have time to build a compatible dilemma pile. You know, you target anthropology and you throw in lots of Antedian assassins or whatever. You know, like the old Farseeing Eyes, you know, you just punish one skill so they have nothing and then all your dilemmas bounce. But like I said, I did not have the time to put together a matching dilemma pile. Did your dilemma pile fortuitously match, or were you just playing your normal dilemma pile?
No, I was actually playing a bit of a customized dilemma pile, but not like that.
Okay.
Like I was saying, I did too many things. I probably, if I had gotten to my dilemma pile before I took a left turn in my deck construction, I probably would have done something like that. A lot of leadership, honor, intelligence requirements, you know, things that they focus on, depending on which assassins I went with. I had a lot of trouble deciding, you know, which headquarters to do because the assassins are pretty spread out.
Yes.
You know, Romulus was kind of a foregone conclusion because I really wanted to use Vacus, but, you know, there's two Romulans, or there's two Bajorans, and there's two Cardassians. There are several non-aligned, so you have some support, but, you know, there's all kinds of ways you could go with it.
I probably would have went Bajoran, Cardassian, Romulan myself, yeah.
Go all three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I liked that you could feed them in a chain, like a Toran, which lets you pick a skill off of a personnel from your hand. So you can have lots of skills to choose from and then try to target the personnel that you're really looking for. Maybe not necessarily the skill on the person that you got them with, but then once you discard that, then Neela takes a personnel from your discard pile and places them out of play to kill somebody with that skill.
Oh, right. So you get benefits for one card,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, kind of a double dipping on the cost. Yeah, I think I probably would have tried to focus a little bit more on that if I could narrow down the dilemma pile. But like I was saying, once I hit I think it's In the Mind's Eye, is that episode?
Mm-hmm.
Once I hit on that, I was like, oh, yeah, and Sayla, and download the capture cards, and the perfect tool was like the big card that I was like, oh, if I start taking command of people instead of capturing or assassinating, then I can get extra counters. And I had a lot of counters that tournament. That was a lot of fun, going to 10 every time. 10 or 11 with, you know, capture three people and surprise party and just lots of edge counters. So I was kind of splashed about probably about 40%, 50% captured llamas.
Wow.
So okay. That I could condition captive.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny. There's a lot of people who just don't understand the entertainment value for putting together a deck that probably is not going to win.
Yeah, but you know, you
but it's got all the cards from one episode in it. You know?
Exactly. I hit a point at one point against Charlie, somebody who was playing Federation. No, Charlie was playing TOS. Somebody was playing TNG, and I had the potential to capture their Geordi. I was like, oh my god, that's so awesome, I totally have to do it. And then I was like, oh, but I've got my Geordi in my hand, and then I can't play it because I already command them. I was like, ah.
Sure.
But I had like the LaForge impersonator. That was really bummer too, because I wanted to try that new Saterran dilemma. It was like, if you don't have stuff, then somebody stopped, or maybe all your people are stopped. But the big one is I get to take a infiltrator from my hand and put them on your ship, and you now command them.
Okay, is that the one with McDuff on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's that one infiltrator, the LaForge impersonator. But the way his text reads is, I need to have command of him at your mission while you complete it. Because if I give you command to him, the text doesn't really work, because then you get to use his text, and it's like, you know, if your opponent's about to solve a mission here, you can return him to hand to add 5 to the attribute requirements. And I was like, oh, right. That's so cool, and I can put him on yours, and then when you go to solve, I can pick him up, and the mechanics didn't quite work out. But
you give command of the infiltrator?
I think so.
Wow, so I guess that would be good for the Bashir, but man, what else would you do? Huh. All right, well.
I mean, I guess you could just have... There are a lot of things that let you have a... You know, if you have an infiltrator with your opponent, then they can... you can do stuff.
Yeah, but I suppose so. If you own but don't command... Weird. I'll have to think about how that one would work. All right. Well, congratulations to TK for coming back and smacking us all around. At least we held you to more than half modified wins this time.
Yeah, that's a rarity for him. He's usually a very timely player, so.
I'm sure he'll come back with the speed for
defense.
The Christmas holiday. Yeah. Very good. We have a... We have a 1A tournament coming up this weekend, right?
We do. And
are you prepared?
I have begun preparing. I would not say that I am prepared, but I have begun preparing.
I can say the same thing. I've got a deck half put together. I've got notes online and across 3 different pages of what what didn't work. So I will try it again. But I'm hoping we get an even number of people.
Yeah, that would be nice. It's always nice when everybody gets to play.
All right.
But we're always happy to take the bye so that you can participate as well. So.
Yeah, I know. But I feel like y'all came all this way and didn't play. I don't want to play, but I understand. I like to get a game in every once in a while myself. But do we... You want to jump back into 2E for a minute and do our spoiler?
Yes. Now, we have not had a 2E spoiler in a while.
No. We've learned Project Cobalt is the name of the next set. I'm guessing that's another elemental reference.
Yes. And this is still pretty far away, so our information is not sketchy, but scant.
Yes. So, I believe this... My knowledge of Trek is extensive, but not complete. But I'm still going to say I think this is a playtest title.
Well, yes. But I don't know, Project Cobalt. That was that episode of Enterprise, don't you remember?
Well.
So it's from season 5.
I was actually talking about the card we have here.
Oh yes, that is probably a playtest title as well.
It would have been different.
Those aren't muskets.
Yeah. That's not the playtest title.
But that needs to be, or an actual title.
This card, when I read it, without the contraction. And if it didn't have the contraction, I thought it would be more likely that it was a playtest, an actual card that I just didn't hear the line. The playtest title, right, or the title of the card here we have is "That's Not a Cat."
It is an interrupt, and I'm actually quite a fan of the gameplay aspect of this. What it does is, when a card an opponent owns returns any number of dilemmas to that opponent's dilemma pile from beneath your incomplete mission, score 5 points. Now, I had to read that probably 3 times to parse it. So I'm hoping
when a card opponent owns returns any number of dilemmas to that opponent's dilemma pile from beneath your incomplete mission. So when they McCoy you or Shran you, you get 5 points.
Right.
Is there something else that does that?
Not scoring points, I don't think.
No, I mean, that takes. I mean, those are the biggest.
Oh, something that,
right,
that let's see, returning.
And it's
got to
be from an incomplete mission. So
would returns any number of dilemmas that from an opponent's dilemma pile from beneath your incomplete mission, would a dilemma that bounces itself count, or does that never go under?
I don't think it would. No, because it never goes under. But what about Bold Plan? It's used a lot with Tragic Turn decks to get All-Consuming Evil.
Yeah. So you take something out and put it on top?
Yeah, you take it out from under the mission and then you put it on top. I believe.
Yeah, I guess that would count as going back.
Yeah.
Back to your domicile from beneath your anchor. Yeah, returns. Because I thought stripped down, but that doesn't go back. It just moves it.
Wait a minute. Well, return specifically is go back under your pile, right? Not put on top.
Oh, right. Yeah, this specific technical definition of a dilemma returning, unless it specifically says otherwise, means going beneath your deck.
Okay, well, if nothing else, it'll help stop the machine gunning McCoy with Chekhov and Pike. Is it Pike? No, Deckard. Picking them up every turn. You know,
oh, yeah,
up.
And yeah. Chekhov and anything else.
Yeah. Well, okay. And on its own, that would be, I think, a difficult card to put into a deck on the off chance that your opponent is playing TOS or Shran, right?
Right. But
so there's more game text that we haven't finished reading yet.
Yes, just in case.
In addition to that, there's an order. Place a temporal card from your discard pile on the bottom of your deck.
So that can be pretty powerful if you're using a lot of good temporal cards. Grab those, put them back into circulation.
What kind of temporal cards would you be using?
It could be any kind of temporal cards. Charlie was doing something really cool with temporal cards this last tournament, and I'm trying to remember what it was.
Oh, yeah, I saw him do it too.
Yeah, he was using Delivery Boy to get stuff cheap.
Okay, well, the trick that I saw him use was he would play, was it Lineage or Unfair Comparison? Not Lineage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Legacy.
Legacy, yeah, and it was one of the L words. So he would play Legacy on you, and then bounce it with McCoy, and then use Temporal Incursions to flip his dilemma pile and then draw it again and play it on you. And he just kept doing it. It was horrible.
Yeah, but well, and he also had, is it Fitting In?
Which
one's
that?
It's a temporal card where you pass personnel, or you can gain a skill from a pass guy or an attribute from a...
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I'm thinking of his 1E deck last time we played. Never mind.
which trick is Charlie playing
this
time?
Which is also awesome. But he was doing a lot of Q and temporal cards, and he pitched, Delivery Boy to get Temporal Incursion for free. Because it's like at zero cost, and then you can discard it from play to play a three-cost Temporal or Q card for free.
Okay, yeah.
Something like that. And then he had a couple others too, but that was, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he was using Not Easily Avoided, which is...
Oh, to draw a bunch extra.
Four costs, so he would pitch Delivery Boy and play it for one.
Sure, so he could always draw.
So that he could pitch cards and get Legacy again after McCoy sent it away. And it was very irritating. And led to our true tie.
Awesome. Well, then someone wrote a card to battle the deck that he's playing. There's some lore on this. As a reminder, the title, which I'm sure is, again, probably a playtest title, that's not a cat. The lore is, this is a cat. Do you have any idea what that's in reference to?
I have no idea, other than it being a vague paraphrasing of the knife quote from Crocodile Dundee.
Okay.
But in other news, we do have some sort of general information about the set, even though it is kind of far off in release. It is, as you may have guessed from our lengthy discussion about temporal cards, it is a temporal slash alternate reality type a theme. So maybe kind of like a cross between AU and Fractured Time style, Fractured Time 2, maybe, type of set. And it's looking at coming out sometime in the winter. So, I don't know, what's the latest winter date we could have? March? End of March?
Sure, yeah. So what is the future icon? Is that the blue one?
That is the blue one.
So Cobalt's a blue color.
It is. Ooh.
And we get a lot of future stuff.
That's cool. I'm going to give you some motivation to get one of those new future pins.
No, yeah. That's funny. I don't know if that's been announced yet, but hey.
Oh, really? Oops, sorry. Everybody will wonder what the hell we're talking about.
Indeed. All right. Well, there's that. Anything else we need to talk about before we run out of
or other? Make note of the fact that that was at 27 minutes, and I can go back and get rid of it.
Sure. I'll apologize to Matt because I spilled soda all over his Tribbles cards. I'm still waiting for a deck list so I can reprint them for him.
Sad Tribbles. It takes me back to the Great Root Beer Flood of 97.
Well, yeah.
Those were Legend of the Five Rings cards, though, so it wasn't as big a deal.
I think it was Ice-T. I dumped that on his cards right after playing him in the last round, and I got a modified win, and it was pretty horrible, so I feel bad all over.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Matt. Very good.
Well, we can
anything else?
Make up for it this weekend with some 1E and some Tribbles.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely come back and report on that after that tournament has occurred.
Before we go, we did have a tournament report. Kind of hey, you talked about somebody else, but you want to know about us too? And we said yes, so here we go.
Yes, we do. Ryan Sutton sent us an email with details about a pair of tournaments they had in East Tennessee over the weekend. It looks like a 1E event, a block event, and then another 1E event that is kind of sealed deck with a twist, it looks like. They played a scenario, an OTSD sealed deck scenario, but people also got three or four packs of First Contact, a variety of First Contact, Dominion, Deep Space Nine, looks like the second anthology cards randomized, and an assortment of cards from Premiere. So looks like a kind of a randomized, sealed slash draft collection of cards that they had there.
That's always fun. I like the sealed event where there's just a lot of options.
Yeah, it's rough when you get, you know, there's just kind of a limit of, like, the just the straight OTSD is a bit rough because you get one person pulls the super card and destroys everyone else who didn't pull anything. If you get a lot of different options, you can play different things. That's really interesting. It makes for a little bit more fun gameplay, I think.
Yeah, it's a lot more unexpected.
Yeah.
Did you see what they did to their one of their games each round?
I did not.
Because it was kind of awesome. They streamed it live.
Coming down. Really?
Yeah. So it's twitch.tv/rsutton41, R-S-U-T-T-O-N 41. This was on Saturday, so it was before our tournament. And had I not been trying to furiously build my deck, I would have watched more, because it was pretty cool.
So did they post that on the message board somewhere? Or?
Yeah. And it's all archived up there. So it looked like they had some sort of stand or something, so it was shooting straight down, not quite over the shoulder of the player who's, you know, was on the bottom, I guess, you know, the right orientation as if you were playing. But so it wasn't left and right, it was top and bottom. So it was hard not to root for the guy who was on the bottom.
Right.
Because that's kind of the perspective of what your cards are usually.
I think
are.
That's me, but, yeah.
Yeah, it was fun to see, you know, running around, attempt missions. It was kind of cool. It was a little hard to follow because it sounded like there was someone doing a commentary and there was a lot of talking and there was just a lot of noise. But it was pretty neat. If we could get that for Worlds, wow, how fun would that be?
Yeah, no pressure. The world is watching.
Even if the last round of Worlds, if there was a camera and the third and fourth players doing a commentary, but I don't know if the third and fourth players would be in the right mindset to do a commentary. So
yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily the best idea. Well, this jerk I see is playing a card here. Yeah, he totally kicked my ass with that because he's a jerk. And then, oh, well, yeah, well, this...
Maybe, I was going to say, maybe one set designer and a head judge or something, but the head judge is probably going to be busy. So, but that boy, if we get that set up, that would be a lot of fun. I would love to watch a full, you know, just this the last round just to see how it goes.
Yeah, have them at like a want to keep them like at a distance so that, you know, they're not. I would hate to have. Be sitting there trying to play hear
yeah.
the commentary. But
you
I
need the commentary to be far away, yeah.
I saw a little bit of that at Kamikaze. They were having a big Magic tournament, and we were standing and talking, and we're like, there are two people, and they clearly look like either radio announcers or like TV anchor people with like big giant headsets, like sportscasters. And they're sitting mm-hmm. at a desk, and they're watching a screen, and they're making commentary. And I could see cards on the screen, and they were Magic commentators commenting on the match like it was radio, you know, being broadcast. And I was like,
uh-huh,
that could be, you know, you'd have to have them have the feed so they could watch it on live with everyone else. But yeah, pipe out the audio with it, that would be hilarious.
Well, we could dream.
So somebody get on that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But that's a really funny idea. That's cool that they just did that. They did, you know, throw it out there. Hey, somebody watch this game. So I wonder if they just did. They just pick a random game, or did they do the top table at each round?
I'm not sure. So
whoever is sitting at this table, this game.
Yeah, this is yes. One random
Guess
person
what?
Will be assigned to the. The video table. Hope you don't mind having this thing hovering over the middle of the board.
Has anybody not played at the video table yet? You are up. Well, there's that. I don't know if you remember when we were trying to Skype you into a D&D. A Mac had that sort of elevated camera that was used for some kind of PlayStation card/video game.
That's right. The one that could read the cards that you're playing and would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It seemed like their rig was higher because they were playing 1E, so it was a big table.
Right. You'd need to have a much wider scope. Mm-hmm. Man, that'd be rough.
Probably HD.
You know, trying to get wide enough so you see everything, but, you know, enough detail that you can make out what's
sure.
going on.
Well, the good part about that is the images are usually pretty iconic, so you could recognize them, you know, at a glance.
That's true. With enough deck knowledge, you should definitely be able to make out a lot of things.
I'm trying to think of what I would want if I were doing commentary on the final match, right? So, you know, headsets so you can hear the person you're talking with, but you don't have to talk loud enough that, you know, it carries across the room to wherever they are, way over there. A screen watching the feed. Probably a laptop sitting to the left with the deck list, you know, so that you can see what each player has got in their deck. And, you know, match history. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that would be so cool. Be able to pull up statistics while you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
Like on a side computer. Like, oh, well, this player is playing Romulan, and they played Romulan in 12 out of their last 20 matches.
Yeah. Or, you know,
9-3.
He's only two cards removed for a deck that he's used in a couple of tournaments. Went, you know, 8-7 or, you know, whatever.
Man, that'd be cool.
All right, well, there we go. If you've got a tournament report that you'd like to us to go off on tangents while we're reading, feel free to send it to section31@danhammond.com.
In the meantime, it was really cool to get to see the report that Ryan sent in. I guess they had 7 different players from 4 states come in for this weekend event. North Carolina, South Carolina, Kentucky, and Tennessee coming in. Scott Bowman ran the block tournament for them so that Ryan could play. And they made it their Engage release event. So that they could, you know, celebrate that, and then and then Ryan ran the sealed deck. And that was the one that they had streaming. So if you had a sealed deck, especially if you knew, you know, the product that was being played with, that would be an easier time, more recognizable cards.
Yeah, it would be harder for the commentary because you don't know what their decks are, but it would be interesting to say, oh, you know, look what he pulled, look what he drafted. It looks like the Nationals East are going to be there in East Tennessee in January, so if you're nearby, head over for that.
Yeah, so thanks for sending that in, Ryan, and congratulations to everybody who played out there. It looks like... Ryan won the block tournament that Scott hosted, and then Josh Sheets won the other event, the sealed deck event. So congratulations to both you guys, and thanks everybody for coming out and playing, because it's always fun to you know, the more people that are playing to be able to build up tournaments like that. So keep it up. And we'll look forward to hearing from your big Nationals event in January. Speaking of Nationals, we should probably mention that too, right?
That we're having them? Yes.
Yes.
It looks like the consensus is it's going to be over Saturday and Sunday. We're going to try to shove it all into one day, but right now, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday will be 1E, followed by Tribbles. And Sunday will be 2E, followed by Tribbles. And we'll just have a big constructed OTF full card pool for 1E and just a standard bring what you got for 2E. And we'll have 4 or 5 rounds depending on attendance. And should be a good time. Come on to San Diego.
Yeah. And Monday will be Tribbles followed by Tribbles. But maybe not.
Probably not.
All right. In the meantime, I think we are out of intelligence for this week. Would you agree?
No content.
No content.
No contest.
No contest and no content. We're done. So I will give our customary shout out to Warp 11 And a little wave to TK. Thanks for coming out and seeing us for Thanksgiving. We'll see you at Christmas time, hopefully. In the meantime, I am Sir Rope.
And I am Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
Now we've brought it in. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect.